I hate to break this to you, but you have a 0.0006% chance of starting a billion-dollar business. Jack Dorsey didn't start just one. He's got two of them. He was 29 when he launched Twitter with his pals Evan Williams, Biz Stone, and Noah Glass back in 2006. His handle, as a matter of fact, @Jack, was Twitter's first account. But as Twitter began to boom, Jack Dorsey developed a bit of a reputation in Silicon Valley as somebody who wasn't necessarily mature enough to lead one of the internet's biggest businesses. He lost the title of CEO, but stayed on the company's board, and now is Twitter's interim CEO once again. We recorded this interview you're about to hear just weeks before Dick Costolo stepped down. But the question is, why would Twitter put Jack back in charge? Well, here's one reason. Because he has managed to silence many of the critics who said he didn't have a head for leadership with a company that he started 6 years ago. It's called Square. Chances are you've seen its namesake product, that small white Square credit card reader that fits into the headphone jack of a smartphone and makes charging for services even easier for small businesses. I flew up to San Francisco to meet Jack Dorsey at a wine shop, the wine shop of one of his Square customers, a guy by the name of Wayne Garcia. It's called Dig. And it was there that Jack told me about Square, life since Twitter, and what the future might hold for a person that some have called the next Steve Jobs.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Tell me who Square is for. Is Square for the buyer or is it for the seller?
Square is for the seller. What's interesting about building a product for the seller is you also affect the buyer experience as well. And that that results in faster transaction times, which may result in more sales. But we're definitely focused on providing simple tools, affordable tools for sellers.
You're doing a lot of stuff, actually, not just Square Capital, which, you know, provides loans to merchants, and not just the register, but, you know, order and all kinds of different things. And I wonder if you worry at all about diversifying too much as opposed to concentrating on the essence of your experience, which is this buyer-seller transaction.
The essence of our experience is definitely the transaction. It's definitely the payment. But the payment business is so good and so profitable to us, it allows us to do other things. So the way we think about it is, what can we do to make sure that we're growing our payments business, providing better experiences? But also, how do we extend those payments into financial services? How do we extend those payments into marketing services? If you look at what any business needs, no matter how big or small they are, whether you're a Facebook, a Twitter, a Square, or just getting started with a coffee cart or a wine bar, you need three things. One, access to capital, which either comes through investment, revenue, loan. Two, attracting new customers. And three, building loyalty within those customers. That's it. Every single business goes back to those three things. And we're building tools to make all three of those things easier.
Give me the aha moment, that moment when you said, oh, there's a business in this buy and selling thing.
It was really our founding moment when our co-founder, Jim McKelvey, who was my boss when I was 15 years old back in St. Louis, Missouri, called me and said he just lost a sale of his glass art because he couldn't accept a credit card. And he was calling me on his iPhone, which was a supercomputer, in his left hand next to his ear. And we have all this power in our hands, but why couldn't we do a simple thing or something that seemed as simple as accepting a piece of plastic, which was far more convenient than cash, far more convenient than a check. Why isn't that possible? And the company is an answer to that question.
The beauty of this thing is it plugs right into the audio jack. How did you know, or did you have to talk to figure out that that would work?
Yeah, so we knew what the problem was. We knew that we wanted to accept credit cards. We just didn't know how. And we explored a number of ways to do that, typing in the number, which is just too cumbersome.
Too hard, yeah.
And, you know, it gives people private information. Taking a picture of the credit card and doing an OCR, which seems like an odd experience and doesn't really scale. The insight really came from looking at the back of the credit card. And the back of the credit card is a mag stripe. And a mag stripe, is actually the same technology that a cassette tape is. It's audio. And if you listen to the audio on a mag stripe, it actually sounds like a squirrel screeching really loudly. And it's annoying. If you put a read head next to that, then you can decode that audio into numbers. And those numbers you can send up to processor. So all that was required was an audio jack that didn't just put sound out, but also had mic in. And every iPhone at that time had a mic in ring, that we just plugged into, and suddenly we were able to push that audio into and decode those into numbers.
You are a guy who started a company along with a bunch of other folks that, without a whole lot of argument, changed the world. Twitter, right?
People changed the world using it.
Fair enough. However you want to phrase it. Will you be satisfied if Square is a remarkably successful yet not world-changing product?
Yes. I mean, I definitely want Square to have a massive impact, and I think it has the potential to be that. And, you know, I'm going to work as hard as I can to make sure that's the case. And really what that means is it's accessible to more people. I think Twitter has the potential to impact the world in a positive way because it reaches so many people, and people can come to it and they can use it in whatever way they wish. And I think that speaks to the power of a true utility. And I think Square is also building a true utility, just in a very, very different framework, which is commerce. So we have focused on the U.S. economy, the Japanese economy, and the Canadian economy, because it's a very, very different way to enter into a market with Square than Twitter. Twitter, we can just open and everyone in the world can use it, and then we translate as appropriate. Square, because it is payments, because it's financial service, because it's highly regulated, we need a partnership with a bank in every single market. We need to pay attention to the local regulation. So there's a very, very different entry that's allowed us, or, you know, encouraged us to focus on particular markets and fewer markets than you would see with a more social product.
You have said that if you're the one making all the decisions at Square, then Square as a company is failing, right? So what do you do all day?
I mean, my number one job is to make sure that decisions are being made. I think that's the role of any leader, is first and foremost assembling the right team. And assembling the team means hiring, certainly, but also means parting ways with folks that just aren't cutting it or aren't additive to that team dynamic or detracting from that team dynamic. So making sure that we're paying attention to that team dynamic and it's collaborative and it's really challenging itself is number one. Number two is making sure decisions are being made. The reason I say that if I have to make a decision, we have a failure, we have an organizational failure, is because I don't have the same context as someone who is working day to day with the data, with the understanding of the customer. I can help provide context of what's happening in the industry, what's happening with our competition, what's happening across the company. And we need to make decisions that are rich in that. But the true innovation, the true invention is actually going to happen in the work, not in a room. And third is to make sure that the decision we're making today are far greater and far more impactful than what we did yesterday. And we're constantly raising the bar on ourselves. We're not reaching any sort of stalemate in terms of how fast or how far we can go. So constantly raising that bar. So I definitely see the organization as the and the people in it as the ones to make the decisions, because they have the greatest context for what needs to be done.
You've made no secret of the fact that you view Square right now as a place that you want to invest in growth and not in profits. Widely reported a year ago that you guys lost $100 million, and you said, well, you know what? It depends on how you calculate loss, right? We're plowing it back in and we're making it. How are you going to know that you don't have to do that anymore and that you can keep trying to be bigger and profitable at the same time?
Well, there's always a balance. I mean, we, like many companies who are just getting started, you start with investment, you start with a loan, you start with the intention of growing a bit, and then you build a customer base that allows you to pay that off and to actually sustain yourself. And it's something that we are definitely mindful of and definitely something we're pushing for and have line of sight to, but it's a choice you make. We can make a choice today that we are profitable and we could become profitable within a month, or we can make a choice of we're going to continue to hire people and we're going to continue to invest in the business so we can make stronger tools and better tools and get them to more people. And there's trade-offs to both. And the context really in the market dictates that. So we are definitely focused on building a business that sustains ourselves. where we don't have to continue taking investment from outside parties, although we love our investors.
Everybody does. Square is the innovation, Square itself, right? Mm-hmm. The methodology. What is the killer app within that breakthrough, right? I mean, what's the thing that does it for you?
The killer app within Square?
Within Square. I mean, Square itself is an app, and I get that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, swiping a credit card, what else is there? What's the big thing now?
I think it's the potential that I can download an app and I can get every tool that I need to actually run whatever business I want to run. And, you know, we talk a lot about businesses, but these are not just businesses. My co-founder was an artist. He lost a sale of glass art, right? These are musicians. These are speakers. These are charities. These are folks that need money to fund their craft and to fund their lifestyle and to fund their work. And, I think that's something really powerful, that I can really focus on what I love most and what I want to do. And this thing works, and it works so well that I don't have to think about it, you know? And the fact that from the same app, if I'm doing really well and I want to take an advance of funds to grow even more, that I can do that just with a click of a button from that same device, from that same app, and continue to grow. And as I grow, I get richer and richer infrastructure with devices that I already know how to use. That's really powerful because it levels the playing field.
How big a problem is it for you guys that you at Square that you have to inspire loyalty among business owners as opposed to among consumers? Because consumers are the ones who go, oh, yeah, cool new thing. And business owners are like, don't mess with my processes, man.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think as a business owner, we tend to get very stubborn about what works. And we want to focus on our customers the entire time and making them happier because, you know, we'll make more sales ultimately. But at the same time, every business owner is also a customer of someone else. And we see an experience that another store has because of a system that they're using, and that may tip the scale. And in the early days of Square, we had a piano teacher, for instance, get into the back of a taxi cab, and the taxi cab was using Square to process their payments. And she would ask, you know, what is that? And he would say, Square, and they only charge 2.75, and I get my money the next business morning versus this other system, which is 10%, and I don't see my money for a week. And then the piano teacher says, well, I could probably use that for my students. And that's how we spread. And we've had that in retail situations, too, where people walk in who own a business, and they walk into a wine bar or to a cafe, and they say, well, I have a business, too. And, hey, what are you using? So this network of merchants and sellers is strong, and it gives advice, and it supports itself.
This is more a question about the vibe of Jack Dorsey than it is about Square or Twitter. You're a guy who comes with a reputation, right? You've got a certain look. You have a certain reputation. People say, ooh, next Steve Jobs, maybe. And you laugh and you shake your head. I wonder how much of that is a conscious business decision, to be cynical about it.
To be cynical about it?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm cynical.
No, me being cynical about you and you know, the carefully cultivated Jack Dorsey.
I mean, if you look at my beard, I don't know if you would say carefully cultivated.
Scruffy. It's a little scruffy, right? You could use a trim, but you got the black skinny jeans and the boots.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I tend to do what feels right to me, and this feels right. So, I like really simple things. And I think if you ask my parents, you know, what I was like as a kid, when we would get a new apartment or move into a new house, I would go for the smallest room that I could find because I just don't like having a lot of stuff. I don't like having to worry about a number of things. And I really enjoy my focus. And I realize that, you know, more and more, especially as I get older, that, you know, we're only here on this planet for a short amount of time. And I want to make sure every single minute is valuable to me and I'm giving something back. And that's what drives me. So as it plays into how I conduct the business and how I run the business, sure. But I grew up a punk. I love punk rock music, and a lot of my look certainly is a little bit questioning authority constantly, and sometimes looking for edges. But I'm curious, and I like exploring, and I think that's what you see.
You were running Twitter when you were 31-ish, right? 7-8 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, brand new experience for you. You have now come to Square as a much more seasoned executive, right? I mean, you got fired from the company you founded. You've made your way back. I wonder how that colored how you started Square and are running it today.
Well, just a correction. I never left Twitter. I became chairman. We switched roles. And, you know, I think everything that you go through, you're given an opportunity to learn from it. And I certainly learned from it. And I was a first-time CEO. And it's not a position I necessarily wanted to be in. It's a position that I was grateful for, but was put in. And we were growing extremely, extremely fast. And, you know, I think there's context that would provide for every decision made and every mistake made and every failure made. But what I took from all of that is how important it is to really focus on the fundamentals. And the fundamentals that I found were the company and the team and how I think about bringing people into the company, how I think about parting ways with people in the company, how I think about our leads in the company, how we think about making decisions in the company. Square was interesting because we definitely made new mistakes because I wasn't going out and saying, well, I'm going to get into microblogging again, right? I'm going to create another social company. We did something completely different and we got into finance, which when I started Square, I was in credit card debt. I had a terrible FICO score. I lived all the pain that our merchants live every single day. The financial system was a blocker to me, not an enabler. And we took those lessons and we baked it into the product. And that really, really stretched us. But we had to learn how to build hardware. We had to learn how to handle risk and fraud. We had to learn how to give people merchant accounts and then tie it all together into something simple. And these were all new experiences and new challenges. And still today, you know, I became chairman of Twitter when we were 50 people. Square is close to 1,200 people. So all of these have been new challenges that I learned from, and they're certainly not over.
What's the if you could write the first line of your obit, is it Jack Dorsey, co-founder of Twitter, or Jack Dorsey, co-founder of Square?
Jack Dorsey punk.
week 10 days or so ago, Twitter earnings leaked early. Not a good day for the stock. Not a good day for the company. Can't get the executive chairman of Twitter in front of a microphone and say, and not ask him whether you've got confidence in the leadership of that company, the customer in particular.
Well, that's an easy question. I have extreme confidence in the leadership team of the company.
Well, then what the heck? I mean, you know, forward guidance is not great. Investors are shaky.
You know, I think we're a new company on the public market, and I think there's a lot of strength in the business, and I think there's a lot of emotion around the business, outside of the business as well, and there's a lot of expectations set. And sometimes when you set your own expectations and they're not met, then you get upset. And I think, you know, in certain cases, you see that, and in certain cases, you don't.
Emotion, really good word, because that's what Twitter's all about, right? Twitter is all about emotion. Square is finance, right? There's not a lot of emotion there.
You know, when I walk into a place like this, there's an emotion. And when I take this bottle of wine home after I purchase it, there's an emotion. So no matter how much of our life moves online, we will always have places like this that we come together, we trade stories, we communicate, we see each other. And I think it's a mistake to extract the soul from commerce, because it enables a lot of these experiences that we treasure for the rest of our life.
Jack, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Jack Dorsey and our Conversations from the Corner Office. The podcast is available every month on our website. It is marketplace.org. It's also in the iTunes podcast store and on Stitcher and SoundCloud. If you like what you heard, don't forget to check out our daily radio program on a public radio station near you. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Thanks a bunch.
This is APN.